us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are your people. Because of what your Son has done for us, we are your saints. And yet, Lord, our nature at this time still wrestles with sin and the fallen nature that all mankind has. So, Lord, help us to not listen to the lies of the devil. Help us to look, to hear, and receive your gospel, and to know and be assured of the great love that you have for us, and that you have indeed forgiven us. Help us, Lord, to listen and to read and to hear your word, to understand it and to rejoice in your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. From Psalm 85. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob, meaning your people Israel, the people who believe, and we are part of the people of Israel, not the political nation of Israel today, but the forefathers of our faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have been grafted, as the Apostle Paul has written, we are grafted into this family of faith. They are our forefathers. They are our fathers because of faith. They believed in the one true God. Through Jesus, Jesus came through their line. We are blessed by them, and we are part of their family. And so you have, so this text applies to us. You've been faithful to your land. You have restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgive the iniquity of your people. You've covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God, of our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Have you ever messed up and said to yourself, I don't ever want to do this again? And then you do it again. Have you ever done it again and had that person say, don't ever do this again, or stop doing that? And you're kind of like, duh, I don't want to do it again. Like, I don't like what I do. Maybe the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 hit you right between the eyes. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. Wretched sinner that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Maybe you've had that feeling before. And yet you know. You know that God has, in the past, forgiven your sins. You know that sometimes you've been given that second chance by some of your loved ones even. And yet you're wondering if, oh my goodness, this time, I don't know if God can restore me again. Will he? Did you guys hear the news? Jesus Christ is coming again. Did you hear that news? You didn't hear it on CNN or Fox. You didn't hear it on the internet. You heard it here. You heard it in church. Jesus is coming again. What does that mean? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because I want to know that I'm forgiven before he comes again. Maybe you're looking and hoping that God will speak forgiveness into your life and tell you it's going to be okay. Have you ever wanted, like, God to audibly speak out to you? Like, to actually hear his voice? I've heard some testimonies of people. There was one time that I heard a testimony of a guy who was arrested, and caught with a whole lot of drugs in the backseat of his car. And when he was going to trial and was facing a long time in prison, he prayed, and all of a sudden a light came down upon him, and a voice said to him, "Are you done?" And the man trembled and said, "Yes, Lord, I am done." As he shows up to the courtroom, the judge says, "This has never happened before. Your lawyer is not going to make it today. Therefore, I cannot have a trial. You had better shape up and get your life together and thank God, because you are not going to do hard time." And the man hasn't missed a Sunday at church since. I heard that about 8 years ago now. I heard that story. I've heard testimonies of Muslims saying that a man came and touched them, and they felt as if their sins were being forgiven. And then they heard the word of God being preached by a missionary, and they realized, wow, I've heard these words of this man before. Who is this man? They learned it's Jesus. But for most of us, maybe you haven't audibly heard or had an experience like that. And I would probably say that for 99% of us, that's the case. And that's why you hear a lot of pastors say, if you want to hear the voice of God audibly, read your Bible out loud. And you will hear God's word spoken to you. Go to church. Hear the word preached faithfully, and you will hear God's word. And that is so true. It's not that God can't work outside of Genesis, out of the words of Genesis to Revelation. But we need to remember that his revelation to us was written down from Genesis to Revelation. And one of the things God has done throughout history, he has always sent prophets to his people. Whether they be Isaiah, or Jeremiah, Elijah, and even before that, you could say Moses as well. He sent the prophet Nathan to give the word of God to David, to restore David's heart and soul. And the last of the great prophets of the Bible was a man named John the Baptist, who God raised up and sent in the wilderness. And Isaiah spoke of him. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." God sent John the Baptist to the face of his people. His people who he had once forgiven. But he sent them John the Baptist to remind them, you still can be forgiven. Yeah, you messed up in the past. Yes, you're messing up now. But there's hope. Repent. And that's exactly what John the Baptist faithfully preached. He preached faith and a baptism of the repentance of sins. Go and confess your sins and be forgiven. That's actually why God also still to this day calls flawed men, pointing to myself, into the divine office of the holy ministry. I'm not saying that me as a flesh and blood human being is divine. But the office of pastor, in which the word of God is proclaimed, is a holy and divine office. Now, why would God call sinners to proclaim his work? God doesn't have a choice. We're all sinners. So he has to use sinners in order to proclaim his word. And you can trust the word that they preach as long as it fulfills one very important thing, that the word points to the one who is greater than all of us, as John the Baptist did. After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He speaks of Jesus Christ. This is why God says, don't forsake the gathering in the book of Hebrews. This is why God commands, as part of his commandments in the Old Testament, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Because you know what? We live in a world where we are surrounded by law. Clock in on time. If you don't clock in, you're going to get paid less, and the boss is going to know you're late. So be there on time and clock in. But don't speed, because you might get a ticket. And oh yeah, and you might do 99% of the things right for your boss, but as soon as you do one little thing wrong, what are you going to hear about? The one thing you did wrong. You might be doing wonderful things and all the chores perfectly at home, but then you mess up and you forget there's one sock that was left unfolded on the bed or something like that. What are you going to hear about, right? That one thing that wasn't done well enough, right? We are surrounded by law all the time, right? And yet, there's this gospel message that if we confess our sins, our God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No, none of us are perfect. The church is not a hall of fame of saints. Well, maybe up there it can be. But the church down here, we're not a hall of fame of saints. We're a hospital for those who are broken, for those who are sinners. But as we cry out to God and remember that he does answer our prayers, and look to the one who is greater than all of us, the one who became man and bled on the cross for us and died for our sins, we know that, as it says in Psalm 85, verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. So when we remain faithful and trusted in God, his steadfast love meets that faithfulness. And even when we are not faithful, he continues to be faithful. And that's why he sends Jesus into the world to be our Savior. That's why he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. That's why he sent all the prophets before John the Baptist. That's why he calls men into the holy ministry. This is why you come to church, to be reminded that yes, you are forgiven. And that yes, in this world where there's so much pain and heartache, there is still a God in heaven who loves you and is working all things to his glory and to the benefit of those he loves. And who does he love? All of us. He loves all of us. And we know that he loves all of us. Now, there are some people who struggle so much with guilt And, you know, yes, there are times in my life where it's like, you know what? I know that I'm forgiven, but I still feel bad for what I did to somebody, right? But I still know that God forgives me. There are some people, and I've had some of the longest conversations and most draining conversations that I've ever had as a pastor is with the person who says, I just don't think God can forgive me. I've done all this, I've done all that, I've done this. And I tell them, you know, look through the cross. You are forgiven. And they say, really? I just don't know if that's true. And they go, they circle back. I just don't know if that's true. I just don't know if that's true. There is something that is called false humility. Meaning that you think you're being humble and you think that you're being sorry. But it does come to a point where you're just, you know, it almost seems like, man, you're almost trying to just seek my attention and to seek an audience here because you're just telling me all the pride that you have in your sin because you think your sin is so great, but the Son of God can't forgive your sins. You're telling me that he who was there when the heavens and the earth were formed can't forgive your sins. When God said, let there be light, and there was light in this world, that light was the second person of the Trinity who would become, who would take on human flesh and become the Son of God. You're telling me that he who split the waters of the Red Sea so that the Israelites can walk through in safety from the Egyptians can't forgive your sins. You're telling me that he who changed water into wine can't forgive your sins. He who gave sight to the blind and allowed the mute to speak and the deaf to hear can't forgive your sins. He who calmed storms, he who walks on water, he who helps the paralyzed walk again, doesn't have the power to forgive your sins? He who has never sinned, he who knew no sin, and yet died on the cross for you to forgive all sins. He is God Most High, and he said, I am going to stay on this cross with everything that I have. I am going to bear your sins and all the sins of the world. And through my blood shed, there is not a single sin that I cannot forgive. That is what Jesus has done for all of us. And so, yes, when God sends a messenger, and maybe right before your face, and says, and gives you the gospel, sometimes he might give you the law too. Or she may give you the law too, right? Because sometimes it could just be a family member. It could be a mom or a dad. It could be a brother or a sister. Who knows? It could even be your son or your daughter at some point in time. Mom and dad, that's wrong. But don't worry, mom and dad. Jesus still loves you. We are not only given the gift of forgiveness, but with our loved ones, we can share the grace of God with them when they sin as well. Grace in our Lord Jesus Christ has freely been given to all of us. You may be on trial for your sins, and the court and the evidence may say you are guilty. And yet the judge is saying, nope, the debt's been paid. Because Jesus paid it in full. You have been freely given a gift. Therefore, you can freely share that gift of grace with each other, with your loved ones, with people that you know as well. Yeah, it takes a lot to forgive. And it's hard to sometimes love people in this world who are hard to love. But we do it because Jesus first forgives all of us. And we can love because he first loves us. So, Maybe you're not John the Baptist. You don't have to be. In fact, don't go around going over your camel's hair this day and age. People might look at you kind of funny.
If all you have is wild locusts and honey, I'll take out. I'll buy you a burger right now. Okay. All right. We'll go get a burger. So you have locusts and wild honey.
But no. That just like John the Baptist, you can tell people that Jesus, who has come, is going to come again. And that's good news. Because he shows us that God is a God who wants to help us. God is a God who wants to love us. God is a God who desires to forgive us. God is a God who desires to grant us all eternal life. And that is a wonderful message that John the Baptist shared. It's a wonderful message that the prophets tried to point to. It's what Jesus has done. And it's what I love to be able to proclaim to all of you. You are loved. And the proof is on the cross that Jesus died on. And you are saved and have eternal life. And that proof is in the empty tomb. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.